Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci the run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
Free has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Big program headed your way. Who better to talk Rams and Saints than the guy who was the head coach of both those teams, Jim Haslett, 8 years as a player, 18 years coaching in the NFL. He'll join us at 11:20. Joe Lenardi, the bracketologist, he's in town with St. Joe's tonight. It started in 1995. He's a must-listen for college basketball fans from about here till mid-March. Martin will be here at 11 o'clock. Right now, it's time for the roundtable. We are joined by Andy Strickland and Charles Tuna Edwards. Men, good to be with you. How are you?
Hold on 1 second. We got to push Haslett back a little bit because he said 11:20.
Well, they took our time. He took it yesterday. He sent me a text. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, we're not done at 11:20. I don't think. I think
what the hell? You kicked us out today.
Hockey practice to get to, yeah, don't you?
That's at 1 o'clock today. So Haslett, if
big program coming up at 1 o'clock. By the way, Hockey Sense.
If you're listening,
4 o'clock.
The baseball show. Yeah. Baseball show.
Baseball
1 o'clock.
Hockey at 4. You hate David Backus 1-on-1.
You hate the Rams, but you got a Rams coach on the talk. Does that seem right?
He's a
former
Rams coach.
St. Louis Rams.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one person who hates the Rams more than Frank is probably Jim Haslett. But Jim Haslett.
No.
And Martin and Randy Carricker.
Please let go.
Who else? All the media. I think the media hates the Rams more than the actual people do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what do you think the percentage is of people who are rooting for the Rams? Brian said 20. I'll say 15.
About 30%.
You know what's interesting? Is if you ever listen to the NFL Network radio station on XM Sirius Radio, Channel 88, you'll hear Howard Balzer's on there sometimes. But they take calls all the time. And I would say 72 to 74% of the calls they get about the Rams are from St. Louis.
That's right.
And the St. Louis people who are calling in are like, I'm a diehard Rams fan.
They love the Rams.
They were here in St. Louis.
I think 60% of the people here love the Rams.
I don't think that's an overwhelming percentage.
Yeah, 60%.
No. It's just
the people.
So wrong about that.
All the people I know. Everybody I know loves them.
The highest possible percentage could be 25.
Oh, no,
it should be. I think it's about 20. Believe me, when we do all these things on TV, Martin
and I. 20 is generous. It's less than 20. Yeah, less than 20.
Yeah, there's so much history.
I don't know. I wish we could find out what it is.
Well, I mean, I know this is not scientific, but if we do these on our radio show, are you rooting for the Los Angeles Rams? It's 9-1 against. It's 90%. I mean, the only people that are rooting for the Rams that I know of are you.
Well, I would
Ahmad Hicks, our sportscaster, Channel 5.
Alvin Reed, Alvin Miller.
It's interesting.
I know about 35 brothers.
There's a trend there, isn't there?
I know the brothers love the Rams. Yeah. Most of the brothers I know love the Rams.
Why is that?
They don't care about a movie, man. It's just a different situation.
You know what?
Here's something. Wait a minute. Your brother just moved Kimo's out of downtown St. Louis,
93 years.
What would happen if somebody came to Mark's, look, we're going to give you over millions of dollars to move out of town. What would he do?
You know what my brother would do? He wouldn't put any facade on or like try to give the city any false hope. You know what he would say? Look, I want to be honest with everyone here. I want to be honest that we know that we can't fight what's going on down here. So we are going to go to a different spot. If Stan would have said that Do you realize how things would have been different?
That's the business of football, though, Frank.
Football.
The other team
doing.
What
are you talking about?
Come on, that's the business of football.
He lied to a city.
That's the football.
And then,
a good businessman lies.
You know
the
thing my brother does? He doesn't.
A good businessman lies.
He doesn't trash the city on the way out and have a bunch of attorneys say this is a terrible city for restaurants or something like that. You know, he didn't do that. Okay?
Well, what happened to Shad Khan at the end? Shad Khan wanted to be an investment by this team. At the end, he turned his back on the Rams.
You know what?
No, he didn't.
He didn't even vote for the team. He didn't pass the vote.
Shad Khan wanted to keep the Rams.
He wanted to stay here. How come he didn't vote for him to stay here?
If he was the owner, he never would have left.
How come he didn't vote for him to stay here? He did not vote for the Rams to stay here. No, he did not.
You know what happened? You listen to Jerry Jones, who spoke about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks. It was prior to the game. But, you know, he speaks about Stan Kroenke, about him stepping up for the National Football League.
Yeah.
The commissioner of the National Football League and the NFL itself, they were looking for somebody like Stan. Who can we bring, or who do we know, who do we have that can build a stadium in L.A.? And I think they came
build
to
it
him.
Himself.
And he was the one who said, you know what, I can do it. And they were, you know, obviously orchestrated the move to get the Rams out of here to get to L.A. But this was about one guy, Stan Kroenke, that the rest of the league, I think, went to that said, hey, we need you to step up for
us.
For us. And he did that for the rest of the football, or rest of the league,
business,
the owners.
A business decision, Frank.
Yeah.
And when this little petticoat junction got caught in the crossfire.
I said it a million times. Then why not just say it up front, huh?
Why lie?
It's business. Why trash the city on
a
the way out?
A good businessman will lie, Frank.
Yeah, he's such a great humanitarian.
Now, I'm
too.
Not going to sit here and defend him for what he did and think that he's a great guy and all this. I don't know Stan Kroenke. I can't tell you if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
Okay.
He's not a bad guy.
I think the people in Texas may disagree. Those people.
That's life, Frank. That's life, bro.
Let's just kick
We don't know the whole story down there either.
We don't know the entire story.
You can't just put that on.
And by the way, if you see the ratings,
you can't put that on.
Have you seen the TV ratings? Apparently, Los Angeles is not wild about the Rams either.
I don't care.
Well, they've got stuff going on. They got other things to do there.
They
have
a team in the NFC Championship, Andy.
What's going on in St. Louis?
I don't think there's anything bigger in the NFL.
Wait a minute. They got the Lakers. Hey, they got everything going on.
You know what the NFL is to a market like Los Angeles? I mean, it's a little speck on the map.
Yeah, they got their 500 basketball.
Then they got the Olympics coming soon.
UCLA stadium's
coming up.
I'm just saying the majority of people in L.A. aren't from L.A., number one, and they don't really care about
sports. They don't even stay at the Dodgers game after the 6 or 7, and they leave the Dodgers game.
They've
been in the World Series.
It's not like here in St. Louis where everyone's life is revolved around the professional
here
sports.
Here at Petticoat
teams.
Junction, and Mr. Haney is the Mrs. Haney,
you know,
the mayor, and nothing
is
here to do.
If you think this is such a bad city, if you think this is such a bad city, why don't you leave?
I don't say it's a bad city.
I mean, I'm just saying we think
small potatoes here.
Could we set up a fund?
Goober should live here.
You can go to Florida and live with people more your age.
A GoFundMe.
Do you know how much money we could raise on this show right now?
Why don't we start that up right now?
Plane ticket for Charlie Tuna to go to Florida? Oh, my God. We would raise thousands of dollars.
All right, listen.
My people want me here.
His daughter would not want him around.
No, she already told me what she wants me to do later.
She doesn't want you
to go. My daughter brought me a nice Christmas gift.
So let's start the GoFundMe account. I get 10% of it, though, just to keep.
Mm-hmm.
But of course.
Jim Hayes Enterprises.
Wow. I'm a businessman. I'm setting it up.
I love St. Louis.
You're a businessman.
Don't get me wrong.
All right.
I love this town.
You know what? That's our new phrase. Mm-hmm. If you want to do something really bad, he's a businessman.
Hey, what is Petticoat Junction anyway? What is that?
The TV show. You never saw it? But the girls were taking a bath up in the horse trough. Mm-hmm. You never saw that?
I'm sure you did.
Mr. Haney.
Yeah,
remember
Mr.
that, don't
you? Oh, Mr. Haney was great.
Mr. Haney was great.
I'll give you that, Chuck.
He would sell his, mom.
So, Winning Street text line, 855-282-8255. How much would you contribute for the Charlie Tuna plane ticket?
Don't lie now.
To leave for good or come back? You want me going for good?
For a while.
We still want you to be able to pay
her. We'll decide when you're allowed to come.
Oh. Brian will text you.
We'll let you know.
Oh, forget that text.
855-282-8255. Keep in mind that 10% is going to Andy Strickland. And why again?
Just because I set up the GoFundMe. But you know what? I've known Charlie for about 20 years now, and I think I've known him to leave St. Louis maybe once.
Well, the reason why I don't travel is
you don't even go out of town.
Well, the reason why I don't travel anymore, hold on.
He had a training.
You never leave Chesterfield.
Training? What's
that? I think
that?
He was like,
tell what happened.
How to sell
back in the 80s, I traveled to 32 foreign countries for Kangaroo. I traveled so much back in the 80s, I am tired of traveling.
Now,
I'll go see my daughter. I'm going to see my daughter in a couple of weeks down in Florida. She's begging, Dad, come see me, please. The only gift I want is for you to come see me. She got me a great gift yesterday,
daughters. Maybe we should send you to a foreign country. See, we can.
Oh, man, I loved it over there.
What exotic country did you think, while you were there, you know what, I could live here?
Greece.
Oh, I could see that.
I went to the nude beach of Greece.
You know what?
Back in the day, they would make you take these pills. I'm serious. And then I was with Walter Payton and his wife. It was Rio. This is back like in 80.
Blame it on Rio. Michael Caine. Good movie.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's before the crime got there.
What's the pills you're talking about?
Well, can I say it? Saltpeters. Didn't make the men before you, if so you wouldn't get an erection. You would take that before you went to the beach. This is years ago now.
So you would not.
I ain't taking nothing.
Charlie.
Flagpole. I ain't taking nothing.
Geez, isn't your friend you hang out with now? Isn't she from Greece?
No, that's another girl.
Oh,
it was another girl. Okay. You keep up well.
Yeah.
I actually went to Greece this summer and was on one of those beaches. It wasn't like completely.
But there were some. This ought to be good.
How was
no,
Greece?
There were some that women did were topless.
Your wife is from Greece.
She is, yeah.
Yeah.
How
was Greece?
Good. I liked Italy better.
That's right, you were there.
Yeah.
Rio back in the day at the first topless
pretty
nude
wild.
Beach. It was wild. And that's the first time I ever saw a thong was in Rio,
and
I almost lost my mind.
No, please. He hasn't seen one.
Because Walter Payton told me, he said, make sure before you go to the beach with your wife, wear dark shades so she can't see your eyeballs.
That's actually good logic. Mm. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, since the wife can't see you, I see.
Okay. Yeah. You're a little sneaky guy.
Let's hit a couple of these topics. Andy, a tough night in Boston. I think everybody's talking about, although it wasn't the entire game was Jaden Schwartz, almost a breakaway, and he doesn't shoot the puck.
Well, in the way that he's been scoring as of late, there's no guarantee the puck would have gone in the net anyway. but, you know, you get an opportunity one-on-one with the goaltender. Listen, you got to make the higher percentage play when you have a two-on-one. Now, it wasn't a breakaway like some are trying to describe it as such. I mean, he had the angle on the defender where he could have been one-on-one with the goaltender. It's about making the right play. And the right play there would have been to, you know, continue to skate in the goaltender, move your feet, and try to score a goal, as opposed to making a pass, which was a far less percentage play to make. I mean, that was a very difficult pass to make, especially on your backhand, with kind of a no-look spinorama on your backhand. And then you see Boston come down the other way, and they score a few minutes later. That turned the game around for sure. But on the road, 2-2 game, man, you got to find a way to put the puck in the net. They had an opportunity there to do so.
So how do you examine what's going on with this guy who at the beginning of the season was one of your most skilled players, and here we are in mid-January with 3 goals?
I don't know how to explain it with Jaden Schwartz. You know, he's had a lot of injuries over the course of his career. Is that catching up with him? I'm not sure. You know, confidence-wise, it certainly isn't there. And you know, if you go back and look at the game log and the history for Jaden Schwartz, I mean, he's had stretches like this in the past where he's gone – I mean, significant time without scoring goals. I mean, significant time. But he's also streaky, and he also puts up a bunch in a short period of time as well. So the reality is they need more from him. They need more from a couple other guys as well. When you play as much as he does in his specific role, there is no other option than to produce offense. And right now he's not giving that to you, and you pay him money to put the puck in the net and to create offense and make plays. And, you know, last night, that's one of those moments he's going to want to forget. He's got to come through for this hockey club at some time.
The guy you're going to be having on your radio show today, David Backes, for the first time in 12 years was a healthy scratch against Philadelphia. Do you think it wouldn't be a bad idea for Schwartz maybe clean the head a little bit and just take a break next game?
To sit?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a big fan of that. Everyone thinks that this is like the new thing. Like, you know, David Backes is 34 years of age. On a team loaded with talent, that's a Stanley Cup contender, and not just with their core players, they got a lot of young players as well. You know, it's a fast man's game. They had a back-to-back situation. You know, he's had a ton of injuries as well. He's had some health issues. You go back to last season. I don't think it's as difficult of a decision as a lot of people make it out to be. You know, it can't be easy for the coach to tell a veteran guy like David Backus, you're not going to play. That's the hardest part. But in terms of making a decision of, I'm going to play my top 12 forwards for a specific game to give my team the best chance to win, I don't think that was a difficult decision for the coaching staff there in Boston. But they knew it would be a one game, I don't want to call it a benching, but he'd be a healthy scratch for one game, then get back in there against his former team where he was energized and he had a good game last night.
So you just keep trotting out Jaden and just hoping he finds something here.
Well, I don't think you have any other choice. He's not going to score for you if he's in the press box, I can promise you that. So, I mean, Jaden Schwartz, he's making north of $5 million. He's one of your top players. He's playing big minutes every single night. The idea of him sitting in the press box thinking that's going to cure his issues, I just don't see that. He's trying. This is not a lack of effort. But for whatever reason, he's not getting it done. And the only option there is for the coaching staff is to continue to put him out there and hope that he catches fire and finds some consistency in his game offensively. He's getting a lot of chances. It's not as if he's not getting chances. I would be more concerned if he wasn't getting chances. The reality is he's getting some chances, but I don't know why the scoring touch isn't there right now for Jaden Schwartz.
All right, let's take our first time out. We have Charles Tuna Edwards. We have Andy Strickland. We'll talk some championship football weekend in the NFL. Talk a little Mizzou basketball, a little SLU basketball. We'll be right back.